Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. God got me shining like the sun. I ain't know we shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body. Jesus Christo,
fate bring. We be so fly, think we got wings. Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king. I like the suspense, leave them guessing. Pay them losing no mind, why you stressing? Devil always trying, he be testing. But Father steady raining down the blessings. Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair. Natural style, rock it anywhere. Fashion unlocked, people gotta stare. You ain't usual, now you something rare. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. You know you styling, and you know you fly. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
We not stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your boss. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Hello, welcome to the Native Latin and Black Exorcist Show. I'm Captain Yasha.
Right.
You gotta get a little. We gotta say it again so they know.
Soldier Gamaliel.
All right, so we got Soldier Gamaliel on the mic today. Happy Sabbath to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Those who are aware of their lost history, Shabbat Shalom. Those who aren't, we send you Shabbat Shalom anyway, because the Sabbath applies to you, whether you're keeping it or not. A couple of points here. We'll have a little bit of a shorter show today, but feel free to call in with comments or questions relevant to the topics that we're speaking on, because I thought about that. You're going to have scoffers that are going to call in and try to talk about other stuff, because there's certain groups that they're hanging on to certain scriptures. If we're not discussing that thing on the show, we may or may not entertain you. I mean, you know, we'll take all calls, but we may or may not entertain you. But Lord's will, call us comments and questions in regard to the relevancy of the topic, all right? The number is 516-531-9797, 516-531-977. And brothers and sisters, those who are regular listeners, those who listen, make sure you share the links while it's live, if you're listening live. Share them on your social media, and also while once it uploads as a podcast, all right? I've noticed we get a lot of listens during the week as I check the stats and stuff like that, which is cool because you can listen at your leisure. But, you know, you only get to call in and listen to us live. So, make sure that you call in and listen to us live on Saturday mornings, 516-531-9797. So a lot going on in the world.
A whole lot.
There's a whole
lot. Signs of the times.
Yes. America in turmoil. I said, wars of wars. That's what I call the class. So I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to start with a scripture first. So I said, the world in turmoil, revelations and understanding of the times. Matthew 24 and 6. I'll read it. It says, and ye shall hear rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. All right. So there's a lot going on in the world. You hear these things. The Bible says, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Wasn't there just an earthquake not too long ago, too? That's another thing that's not reported in the
flood of Sierra Leone.
Yep. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows, the scriptures say. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And we're seeing that a lot kind of more pronounced. We know these other nations hate our people, right? The Israelites, who are the natives, Latins, and blacks, according to the scripture. And it says, and then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Sure sounds like times we're living in today with the stuff that I saw this week.
Sure does.
You know, Captain A, you seem like you had some very strong opinions and thoughts. I got some articles, but by all means, bro, speak about this.
Yeah, no, I mean, just based on what the scripture says, what we need to realize is that, you know, prophecy, biblical prophecy is taking place right in front of our face. Now, remember, this Bible was written thousands of years ago. And it's a true book. It's a true book. I mean, you know, the topic of the show is Native, Black, and Hispanic lost history. And all history is in that Bible, from all the different captivities, slavery. We were going to go into slavery. The Bible said, for not following the Lord's statutes and commandments. And we were and still are. Just because we don't have the chains and yokes of iron around our neck anymore doesn't mean we're not in slavery. We're in a mental, spiritual slavery right now. And the Most High is just, you know, remember, he's the puppet master, man. He's the puppet master. And these other nations, they know that. They know that our God is only our God. And they're just, continuing to perpetuate the lie that he's everybody's God. And that's what we bring out here. We bring out nothing but the truth here. You know, understand, son, this radio show is not about being hateful or hating. You know, we don't hate anybody. You know, the Bible says that the Most High hates.
Yeah, we just read. They said that they hate us.
Yeah.
We just read that.
Right. We just read that. Okay. But, you know, here's the way I like to put it. Okay. We don't hate anybody. We just love our people more. You know, we just love our people more, who are the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. And when you look at the true essence of the word racist, that just means having a love for your people. And we love our people, just like Caucasians love their people. And this is why this week they were out there protesting, because one of their people, a historical figure for them, was being taken down. The Caucasian Edomite Esau, who is their biblical name, mentions in the Bible. Okay, General Lee, all right, who was a big proponent of keeping the blacks predominantly and Native Americans in slavery, their statues are being taken down. So little by little, what you're seeing happening, and the Most High, he's a mastermind, he's the puppet master, he's destroying this kingdom.
Hey, but let me tell you something about that, because I have a kind of alternative view about those statues coming down. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should come down, because I think that's part of the lie of the illusion of inclusion by them doing that.
No, absolutely. I agree with you 110%.
And here's the only way I'm for taking them down, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm for whatever the Lord says, but as far as my opinions, I'm for taking them down if they continue to teach the proper curriculum in schools about slavery. I'm for taking them down if they're going to put up other monuments and statues that memorialize the tragedy and the travesty and the suffering and the foundations of what this country was truly built upon. Because you see, by them taking that down, yeah, it may look like an ensign to the Caucasian man, but it's also a reminder to our people of what this country really represents and thinks about us. And it's one of the few reminders we have of slavery. Never forget. You never hear that when it comes to the transatlantic slave trade.
No.
Never forget.
People died there than 9/11. More people died there than proven.
Right. So they're saying they never forget 9/11, okay? Never forget.
Hey.
And what they're doing by taking that stuff, because they're already putting initiatives to change the curriculum of the schools,
right?
Because what they're trying to do is blot out that and not take accountability for what happened during those times. So that's why I'm kind of against that a little bit in that regard. And I actually have an interesting article in regards to putting up statues of black liberators like Nat Turner and, you know, the such. But go ahead. I just wanted to say that piece.
You going
to
say something real quick?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in a little bit on that.
Closer to the mic.
So, I mean, I look at them taking down those statues, the statues the same way as we look at putting the body cams on police officers. So I think they should take them down just to show our people that even if they take down the statues, the meaning of that statue still resonates with the people who put them up in the first place.
Right. Well, you bring up a good point. That's exactly what I was going to say. I'll be honest with you. I don't care either way. I'm not for pulling down, putting up, whatever. I don't care, because you see, my mind is I'm spiritually awoke. So none of that means anything to me. You know, that's what you do when you're not spiritually awoke, because that's your only alternative is, oh, well, I'm just going to jump on a bandwagon of protesting that we've been doing for hundreds of years, and we're still in slavery as Hispanic Native Americans. None of that has proven anything. But it's just interesting, because I bring it up because those statues are put up psychologically, all right, for hundreds of years, because Rome had it, okay? Many civilizations, they put up statues. The ruling empires had statues of their people. And that's a subliminal psychological tool that our enemies, okay, in this particular case, according to the Bible, Esau, the Caucasians, okay, they've put up to commemorate to two things: to continue to perpetuate their rulership, greatness to their own kind, right? But also subliminally, and to let us know, okay, look, Negro, look, Hispanic, all right, we're running things, okay? We don't see no statues of you, because I'm going to bring up a point. Because in Puerto Rico, there's what, about five,
right,
Christopher Columbus statues?
Exact same point.
Okay,
yep.
Why is a statue of a Caucasian, of an Edomite, placed at least minimum five times in a Caribbean island? Just to show that what I'm saying is true. The purpose of statues is to continue to keep in our minds, all right, and remind us, hey, look, you speak, look, you Negro, you, okay, are in captivity. We're ruling things. That's what the statues are significant of. So, you know, it's just very interesting how, and then here's the flip side. So now it's being brought down, and I look at that spiritually, as the scripture says, little by little, okay? And remember what the scripture says in Deuteronomy 28, okay? Until the land be trodden down of the Gentiles. Okay, so little by little, the Gentiles, the true Gentiles, okay, who are all the other nations besides the black Spaniard in America, are being trodden down. And I'm just looking at it spiritually, okay, and figuratively with the bringing down of those statues.
So the world calls we're doing with all this stuff iconoclasm, right? So I'm going to read a little bit about iconoclasm and show how some of this happened historically in the Bible, right? So we have iconoclasm. It says the social belief in the importance of destruction, religious icons, and other images or monuments, most frequently for religious or political reasons. So it's usually religious icons. At other times, it could be other things, right? Over time, the word, usually in the adjectival form, has also come to refer to aggressive statements or actions against any well-established status quo. So, like calling us by another name,
mm-hmm.
right? Deuteronomy 28:37, that could be deemed iconoclasm. It doesn't just have to be images, because in these days, we really don't have very many images of ourselves. Right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. It is a frequent component of major political or religious changes. So there's a major political thing that they're doing here. The term does not generally encompass the specific destruction of images of a ruler after his death or overthrow. All right. People who engage in or support iconoclasm are called iconoclasts, a term that has come to be applied figuratively to any individual who challenges cherished beliefs or venerated institutions on the grounds that they are erroneous or pernicious. I gotta look that word up. Conversely, one who reveres or venerates religious images is called by iconoclasts an iconolater. Iconolater. So that means the people that went out there mm-hmm. to protest it coming down are iconolaters. And the counter-protesters, what they're calling the Antifa, are iconoclasts.
Antifa.
All right. In a Byzantine context, such a person is called an iconodule or iconophile. All right, because the Byzantines were one of the major proponents of that. So let me give you one example in the scriptures of how this happened. Read what I told you to get for me, Soldier Gamaliel.
Yes, this is the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 48. And laid open the book of the law, wherein the heathen sought paint the likeness of their images.
All right, so you have to look at this and understand what's going on here. It says in that time, the Greeks laid open the book of the law, which is dealing with the Bible. And it says, so understand who the Greeks are and what they look like.
Right.
All
right.
Y'all saw Alexander, the movie Alexander. You see all these different movies with the Greeks in power. So we're not being racist when we say that Greeks are Caucasians, right? They're what the world today would know as Caucasian.
Very, very clear.
As white men, right? Sure. So it's saying that Greeks laid open the book of the law and sought to paint the likeness of their images. So they opened the book of the Bible and sought to paint the likeness of their images. Now, understand, iconoclasm deals many levels. Yeah, does that mean there were pictures in some of the scrolls back then? Absolutely. It's not like the Bibles we get today. They don't, but some of them do. We have Bibles today that have a bunch of pictures and stuff in them, right?
Right.
So it's not necessarily a picture book. But also, remember what it said, when we're dealing with it in adjectival form, it can be anything that's a well-established thing. So you got to look at that verse in a few different ways, all right? First off, if the so-called Jews, who we call the world of Rome, we call the Jews today, which is a misnomer because they're not, are Jews of the world, and they look pretty much like the Greeks then, no? I mean, like, right. if you took off their yarmulkes and their black attire and
couldn't tell the difference.
You couldn't tell the difference. You couldn't tell the difference.
Right.
Let's put it like this, and I'm not saying this to be lewd. If you put them next to each other, a Greek person of that time and a so-called Jewish person, and they were both standing together naked, you couldn't tell the difference. You would say, okay, this is a white man. So why would they seek to open the book of the law and paint their images in it if the images in it weren't something that's opposite to what they look like?
Right. Exactly.
And the opposite is black. Is what I'm talking
right.
about. All right. So that's the first thing that you got to look at when you read that verse. And then the other thing is it says the heathen. So it's meaning the other nations. They sought to go ahead and go in there and do that. So it's not surprising. So you spoke correct, Aparim, when you said, at the end of the day, they're doing what they do. Right. That's why I said, you know, my opinion on it is one thing. One way or the other, because we understand the Lord's will is being done, right? So, but we care enough that we need to discuss it for those that don't know,
that's
right?
What it's all
so
about.
That's what it's really all about. Go ahead.
Because we understand how powerful imagery is, and so does the heathen, so does Esau, because the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's how they were able to have three overseers oversee 300 slaves. Because they put their own images and they embedded it into our minds that when we looked at Master, we saw God, and then we saw Negroes in each other.
Right. So let me tell you to what extent they took it. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say, and I'll get you a scripture.
Well, yeah, and one of the most famous forms of iconoclasm that we've seen in recent history is even with their Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty is actually a black woman, but they iconoclasted it and made it a white woman. But the original statue that was made by the French was a black woman. And it's well known. It's not like the secret. They don't care. They made it their image. They want their likeness shown in their country.
Oh, yeah. It's done rather openly. Give me 1 Maccabees 1:54.
This is the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1 and verse 54. Now, the 15th day of the month, Kaslu, in the 140th and 5th year, they set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar.
So understand, is their MO to go in there and take down any images that we have? And they did this in the temple, excuse me. And they went in there, and the Bible calls it the abomination of desolation because it doesn't look like them. It's their false gods. It's the things that are in their image. Mm-hmm. All right. And they set it up upon the altar. Go ahead, read on.
And builded idol altars throughout the cities of Judah on every side.
So if when the Greeks were in power, this happened, that goes to show you that any relics, any artifacts that you find there that don't predate these times are not going to be reflective of what our people really looked like and what our images really were.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff was replaced. I always say history, when you break it down, right, and I'm not going into etymology, I'm just going, when you break it out, it's kind of ironic, all right? This isn't like, you know, me being into etymology of words. It's his story. So whoever's the ruling power at the time is the one that gets to go ahead and put these things up.
Mm-hmm.
The ruling power were the Greeks, and they went on and they put the images in there. So it wasn't just in the altar. It said all throughout the cities of Judah on every side. Okay? So it's telling you, give me Matthew 24:15 so you can understand what's going on here, because as we read more articles and we see stuff going on. That's why I see them coming down. That's part of the illusion of inclusion. They're just taking it down. It's their political agenda. It needs to do that. And it's really geared towards erasing the history of slavery.
Right.
Because you ask young people today about that, and they, by and large, don't really know or understand it or talk about it. I remember doing many papers on it. I remember having to go, you know, writing about different, like Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass and all these other people. They don't talk about those things as much prevalently today. You were going
to
say something?
Yeah, just to give an example to bring it to today's time, when you go through whatever city that you live in now, you look at all the billboards and the different media publications. What do you see? You see the image of the Caucasian as the pinnacle of perfection, as what is deemed as beautiful and what's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact thing.
That's the standard. That's the norm.
Pinnacle of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's a good word. That's strong.
Yeah.
We should do our own image, like on a shirt, and call it the Pinnacle of Perfection.
Right.
Go ahead. Read Matthew 24:15.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place.
Stand in the holy place.
Stand in the holy place. Whose readeth, let him understand.
It says, whoso readeth, let him understand. So Christ was talking about when we need to stand more firmly when we see that thing. All right. He says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, because the book of Daniel, he speaks about that. He says, stand in the holy place. So this happened during the time of the Greeks and the rulership in their time, because you got to kind of ask yourself, every major empire is mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greeks only mentioned the thing.
Right. Right.
So where is that history?
Right.
That history found in the books that they call Apocrypha or Apocryphal, which means like hidden things. And when the 1611 King James Bible was commissioned, it was part of that until the Protestant Reformation movement in the 1700s. And they sought to remove it because they said it wasn't canonical. Meaning they were the authority on what should be included and what shouldn't.
Wasn't canonical, but yet in the Catholic Bible, the Book of Maccabees, is in there.
Yeah, but not all the apocryphal stuff is in there. So that's why I say it was the Protestant Reformation that sought to take it out. Mm-hmm. And because some people take issue with that, we read the apocryphal books, but they're not divinely inspired or whatever. I mean, how do you know that?
Right.
Who the hell are you, and what authority are you to say they're not divinely inspired?
Exactly.
So, and I like to eliminate all points that come out, because you may have someone that say, well, what about you know, the Book of Jashers or Jubilee or Enoch? Well, those weren't in the original scrolls and the original translation. So the problem with that is we're not saying that there's never was a Book of Enoch. There never was a Book of Jasher or a Book of Jubilees. But what you see today is not those books.
Right. And then the other thing, Cap, the scripture says to seek ye the book of the Lord and read, and that precept must be upon precept. So the Bible defines itself. So when it talks about the abomination of desolation in the book of Matthew, you ask a pastor and they'll tell you that they don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that the abomination of desolation is talking about the Caucasian race. It's talking about what they did to our images and everything else.
Yeah, because the Maccabees tells you that.
Exactly.
Which is why they didn't want that book in there.
Exactly. Which is why when you read the New Testament, it says there's no difference between Jew nor Greek. How come he doesn't say there's no difference between Jew nor Philistine, no Jew or Moabite? He specifies Greek for a reason.
Or Jew or Roman.
Right.
Why
that's
is it
because,
specific?
That's because that history is missing in this in the Book of Maccabees and the Apocrypha.
Right.
Because
exactly.
You remember, the Greeks were consumed by the Romans. That's why they call it the Greco-Roman period.
Right.
So it's still talking about the same people.
Right, right. It wasn't like it was a domination. They just kind of, their cultures intermeshed.
There you go.
And that's how it happened. So it wasn't, the Greeks just kind of fell apart. They got weak and the Romans came to power. And that's kind of how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's looking at history in that regard. But yeah, that was a very good point, man, that you made there, Amariah. So it's like people think they don't read their Bible with that understanding and they rely too heavily on what their pastors tell them.
Right.
And they just parakeet what they've read. So that's why, you know, you have these Christians. And I always like to take a moment and explain what I mean when I say Christian. I mean Christian in the form that it's used today, meaning a denomination. All right? Because I'm a Christian.
Well, I'm a Christian.
I'm a follower of Christ.
You're Christian, right?
That's the proper...
Aye. Yes, sir.
That's the proper understanding. I'm a follower of Christ. So when we say Christianity and Christian, we're talking about all the different denominations of religion out there, all right, that are broken down into different
right.
things.
Christianity.
Yes. You got to understand something. Religion was never something that our people followed in the sense that it's used today as a denomination or a sect.
Right.
All right. A religion, simply really, when you think about it, when you read it, it is a word that just means to bind or restrict. So our religion is the laws, not a name that we ascribe to it to say it's this denomination or that. We are Christians. But you got to understand that the Bible is a book of heritage. It is a book of history. It's story.
Hey, that's why they say when you do something, the habit, like a lot, he does that religiously. So does that mean that you're part of a religion? No, it means that you do it to the point where it's part of your life. It's
right.
Binded, just like these laws, like the captain brought out. Yes, we follow religion. Our religion is the law, statute, commandments of the Most High God in the Bible that he gave only to the Israelites who are the blacks, Hispanics.
That's why Christ said you got to be born again and develop these habits and bind yourself to these laws.
Right. That's religion.
Right.
It comes from the root word religio, Latin root word religio, which means to bind or be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's nothing new that's going on today. So so as far as these statues coming out, man, it's just for me, it's all part of the agenda, man. It's such a joke.
It's good entertainment. It just makes me happy because I know the end is near.
So I want to read an interesting article, though, to see how we live in a bubble. And I found this online. It says, this is from Vox.com. It says, I am a black southerner. I had to go abroad to see a statue celebrating black liberation. Why aren't there more statues memorializing slaves? Well, we've answered that with the iconoclasm, which is why I went there first right. before reading it.
Right.
All right. And, so this is Samuel Sinyangwe. I guess he has an African name. It says, this July I traveled to Barbados to unwind and get away. I didn't know I'd encounter a monument that would help me understand how America processes our history. Heading into town from the airport, we circled a statue situated in one of the most prominent intersections in town. It depicts a black man, Busa, breaking the chains that bound his hands in slavery. In 1860, Busa, an enslaved African, organized enslaved black people across every major plantation to stage a nationwide revolt in what is known as Busa's Rebellion. His actions were instrumental in bringing about the abolition of slavery in the British West Indies. As someone who grew up in Florida, I had never seen anything like it. For me, a racial justice activist, it communicated viscerally what no study or analysis ever could. It helped me imagine a landscape of liberation. So understand what he's saying there. they put up their statues of their people, all right? And don't get fooled by them bringing down the Robert E. Lee and all these other people, because you still have statues. Because Trump was speaking true. He goes, hey, so what's next? You're going to take down George Washington? You're going to take down Thomas Jefferson?
Right.
You know, they were slave owners. Abraham Lincoln, who prior to the turmoil in the United States, was actually for slavery. I took a very thorough American history course.
He never wanted to stop slavery.
It was a writing intensive that we had to use the Chicago style citation, which is horrible. I can't stand that citation style. And a lot of it was, when you read Lincoln's early letters, he was pro-slavery, very much so. He had the same views as the rest of his brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, historically, people, oh, he's the one that signed the emancipation. You got to understand, this man, this son of perdition, Esau, okay, the white man, they go ahead and they don't do anything unless it suits their agenda.
Of course. He said it. You're correct. He said, I will do whatever it takes to keep the union together.
Right. Right.
Those were out of his words. Right. And that's why you ignorantly have our people that say, oh, well, he was black or half black. You're an idiot.
Yeah, because he's on the dark coin and he's facing the opposite direction.
It's just Those are deep dummies.
Deep dummies. I was
DDs.
Just going to say that.
DDs. Yeah. Double D's, man.
And I don't mean Dunkin' Donuts, but.
Nope. Double D's, man.
I like Dunkin' Donuts.
And again, but you know what? But it's sad, because what that also proves is that we're still trying to find an identity. That's the reason why. Okay. So we'll. He's half. So let's identify with him and let's praise him that, you know, that he's half black. You know, man, go ahead, black man. And black woman, man, and falsely so-called, and find your true identity, which is in the Bible. That's where it's at. Not in some penny or in some other damn Edomite Caucasian man. Come on.
Right. So he's saying it made him think about a landscape of liberation. You're fooled, because the problem there is that you still erroneously believe that we are liberated today. Just because we walk around and are able to be employed and you have affirmative action and things like that, they won't ever fully, truly memorialize those things, because it shows you now their agenda is to seek to hide it. All right? So they're not going to do that. And it surely doesn't fit their new agenda of we're all one people. So that's what I'm saying. This is all a very political, iconoclastic move by taking down these statues. So the author goes on. He says, that night I tweeted an image of the statue. People began tweeting back pictures of others just like it. Statues in Brazil, Guyana, Suriname, Colombia, Jamaica, St. Martin, Haiti, Mexico, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and Curacao. You know what else he's showing you there is that we were – one people.
Mm-hmm.
He's naming so-called Latin places, and they have these statues of liberators there. All of black men and women who organized, fought, and risked their lives for emancipation, free, fearless, powering by design. These statues represented a reality I had not experienced growing up. The monuments in my hometown celebrated the men who fought to keep those who were enslaved, not those who fought for freedom. The monument in downtown Orlando, where I grew up, depicted a Confederate soldier, rifle his shoulder, towering above his surroundings. At its base was a plaque celebrating the heroic courage and unselfish patriotism of their cause. A few miles down the road, children spent their days learning in classrooms of Robert E. Lee Middle School. More than 700 monuments to these white supremacists dot the landscape of the United States, not just across the South. There's a Confederate Memorial Fountain in Montana, Jefferson Davis Park in Washington State, and Stonewall Jackson Drive, located on an army base in Brooklyn. These are symbols designed to empower hateful ideology and disempower those who continue to be oppressed by it. As we saw last week in Charlottesville, they have become rallying points for today's white supremacists. All right. So what he's saying is, he's talking about those protests. They became a rallying point for them. But this is why I say this is, they're like, oh, but the powers that be are throwing white supremacists under the bus. Come on, man. This is all part of the agenda, all right? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Confederate statues represent white supremacy. When I was growing up, the Confederate statue seemed to blend into the landscape of the city. It loomed over us as we walked in middle school. But it wasn't until I was older that I began to comprehend its significance. I'll never forget the anger I felt reading the words it used to describe the Confederates. Heroic courage. Unselfish patriotism. These monuments are not benign markers of Southern heritage. They unequivocally celebrate a tradition of white supremacy. Look no further than Alexander Stevens, Vice President of the Confederacy, who declared the Confederacy to be founded upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior, is his natural and normal condition. You got something?
Well, yeah. I mean, he said the black man is not equal to the white man, and that is a very true statement.
Uh-oh.
So we need to back that up with the Bible.
Cooking with gas now.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, go ahead, bring it out.
So this is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself.
And he ain't talking about the white man or these white supremacists, all right? He's talking to the Israelites, you native Latins and blacks. Go ahead.
Above all people.
He said above all people. So this Confederate statement, who was it that said this? Hold on, let me go on here again. I got to read this again.
White president? Wait, real quick.
Alexander Stevens, the vice president of the Confederacy, said that Negro is not equal to the white man. You damn right in that.
Right. I understand that every book has an author, and every author has a target audience that is trying to get. So the audience that the Bible is targeting is you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, who are the Israelites. It says, for thou, he's talking about you Israelites are a special people above all people. All right. Read on that.
Above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
He didn't say beneath. He didn't say equal to. God created you so-called natives, Latins, and blacks to be above all people. But because of your rebellion and your disobedience to his laws, we are now the serving class rather than the ruling class.
Hey, so God sounds like a separatist.
That's racist.
I don't know, because I know Christianity and all these religions teach that God loves everybody. But
right.
That don't sound like God is about unity.
Hey, he said above all people. So I got something else for this Stevens guy, Alexander Stevens. So he says upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man. We showed you in the Bible, because he was thinking it in a different way, that he's correct. He says that slavery, subordination to the superior race is his natural normal condition. This is actually the natural and normal condition of Esau and what his is prophesied to do. But I'm not gonna go where you might think I want. I want you to go to 2nd Ezra. We're gonna go to 6, and let's start at verse 7. So you can understand where we really stand and what God really has in store for us.
This is the book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 6.
And get me He Who Leadeth into Captivity.
Mm-hmm. And right. Verse 7. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the times? Or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that follows?
So Ezra was asking the angel that was dealing with him through the Spirit of the Most High. And he said, when shall be the parting asunder of the times? When will the kingdom come to earth again? He says, or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of that followeth? Read on.
And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau.
So he's telling you right there how you read in Genesis, when they were born, how Jacob's hand held the heel of Esau. That was symbolic, okay? Letting them know, hey, homie, before you come out, remember it's only for a time.
Right.
All right? You only going to be first for a time. Read on.
For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that followeth.
That was what that symbolized, what you read in the prophets in Genesis, that Esau is actually the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning that followeth. Read on.
The hand of the man is betwixt the heel of the hand. Are the question, Ezra, ask thou not?
See, yes, the hand of man is betwixt, between the heel and the hand. So he's letting you know where we were at that point in history for this change to happen, all right? So again, we're talking about Alexander Stevens' statement. So now get me that, and that's
the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 9. He that liveth to shall go.
The saints is dealing with the Israelites. Hey, you so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, you're the children of the people. You are that's going to follow. You are the beginning that follows the end. the Lord put the end first. That sounds weird, right? The Lord put the end out first. The beginning is coming now. It's coming about as we return to our heritage. So Alexander Stevens said, slavery, subordination to the superior race is his natural and normal condition. He said that in reference to the Negro. But God tells you that's not our natural and normal condition. That's his natural and normal condition.
That's right.
All right? We just read that in the scripture. That's what the Bible says is his natural condition. So I'll read on. He says, the reason these statues were built has its roots in oppression. Most of these monuments were constructed in the early 1900s. Damn, these advertisements pop up and it makes me lose my space. As the South was imposing Jim Crow segregation and racial terrorism on black communities. Let's not forget the Jim Crow, which was under there after Lincoln, after these presidents that were supposedly on board with stuff, mm-hmm. and they allowed these things to happen. In fact, many ways, so it goes to show you, it validates what Captain Napoleon had brought out, that Lincoln's intention was to try to save the Union, not the slaves.
Right.
And that's why him and every president after they were on board with these Jim Crow segregation laws, because after that, before the Jim Crow, you had the black coats.
Right.
So this happened under Lincoln. So why didn't he do anything about that after signing the Emancipation Proclamation if that was going on mm-hmm. and he was so concerned with the slaves? Dummies. All right. Mm-hmm. So it's telling you his intention was only to recruit more men. And you got to understand something. People lose the will to fight. The people in the North, I guess the Confederacy would call them soft, right? Yankees, you call us Northerners, right? A little more industrialized and stuff like that. They had nothing to rally behind to want to fight for. They were like, fine, let them secede. We don't worry about that.
Right.
So what was the rallying point he chose? Hey, but you do, right? Some of them did care mm-hmm. about what was going on with slavery down there, but not for the reasons that you think. It was for the unfair advantage that they were getting down there in free labor, mm-hmm. which was preventing the North, all right, from progressing and being as wealthy as the South. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. The South was way wealthier than the North. The North was more industrialized, but the South was way wealthier than the North. And it was because of the free labor. Right, which this is why you can never forget slavery. The position of the ruling elect today, what the Bible calls the end, all right, Esau, the so-called white man and all the nations that were Confederate with him, wouldn't have the position they had today, first and foremost, if it wasn't prophetic, but if it wasn't because it was built off the backs of the slaves and that free labor. If they had to pay for labor, America would have never rose to be the world power that it was, that
right.
it is.
Right. And let's not forget, Lincoln's statement was, I will do whatever it takes to keep the Union together. The Union of who? Because we were nobody, blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans during then. So it was the Union, the unity of the Caucasian man together.
Right. I got to script it real quick.
Okay.
This is the ultimate reason why we can't forget about slavery, even though we get told hundreds of thousands of times, oh, just forget it, it's the past. This is the main reason why we can't forget about it. Revelation 18 and verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So God remember what happened to you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans in slavery, and he remembers.
Hey, and this is what we fight for, because them taking out those Confederate statues is part of the agenda, which they started in the school systems to change slavery. What do they call it? The Great Migration curriculums. They call it the Great Migration. They don't teach it that way, trying to lessen what they did. But the Bible's telling you, don't worry. God's going to make sure that it's brought to your remembrance.
That's right.
And that's what we're doing. That's what the name of the show, right? It might seem a little, some people might tune in. Be like, I don't hear history in the way that I was thinking to hear history. No, the name of the show is very appropriate when it's called Native Latin Black Lost History, because your lost history is the Bible. If we solely relied on history books, which are changing and being phased out and unpublished, then you would buy into this agenda and this illusion of inclusion even more. All right. The Bible, though, said, hey, don't worry. What's in here is going to be to you. For a sign and for a wonder, and that's upon right. my people forever, for you to remember. You gonna say something?
That is correct.
So it says, in fact, many were a direct reaction to the perceived threat of racial progress in reference to the statues. As with the surge in schools being named after Confederates following the Brown v. Board of Education decision on school integration, this concerted effort to resurrect the symbolism of the Confederacy so long after losing the war is without precedent. For instance, and this is I like what he wrote here, because I'm going to reference Puerto Rico and what we said when we were in Puerto Rico. He says, for instance, there are no statues of Hitler in Germany today. But you have statues, right, of these people that perpetrated this genocide on our people. All right. He says swastikas and other Nazi emblems are banned throughout the country, but they allow the Confederate symbol and what it stood for. If you think about it, the Confederate symbol, anybody who wears that, that's treason.
Mm-hmm. It, you know, you're right, because it was considered treason back then.
Yeah. But it's confusion if you display the Confederate flag and the American flag, because they'll be like, well, I display the American flag.
Right.
Because you could be more contrary to each other with those two things.
Right.
But if you think about it, that's really treason. But you don't see them getting on them over that stuff. All right. Or the people running around with the Confederate flag and that symbol. That symbol is basically the swastika. It's the same thing. It says the Nazi emblems are banned throughout the country. Rather, the German government has chosen to shut down symbols of its nation's history of hate and devote resources to commemorate the people who were victimized. So this is why I say, if America took that approach, my opinion, right? Again, this is just my personal opinion, because at the end of the day, the only opinion that really matters is that of the Lord, right? Is that them taking these things down and not putting up things to replace them to memorialize the victims goes to show you even more what we read a few weeks ago about that Psalms 83 and that Psalms 2, that they consulted against the hidden ones with one consent to continue to hide us. They don't want us to come back to our remembrance.
You mean like a memorial like they did at 9/11 at the World Trade
Center?
Of a terrorist act. Of people that the lives were taken against their will, right? Sound like slavery?
Yes, sir. Sounds a lot like slavery.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Where are the statues depicting black liberation? In 1739, an enslaved Central African man named Jeremy led the Stonewall Rebellion, the largest slave uprising in colonial American history. Starting in South Carolina, Jemmy recruited, organized, and armed up to 100 freedom fighters. Together, they marched toward refuge in Florida, carrying banners and chanting liberty, Lukangao, in their native language, Kikongo. They burned 6 plantations, all praises, and fought off white militias for a week before the rebellion was ended. Jemmy was killed, but some of his followers are thought to have made it to Florida. Today, there is a lone sign propped up amid the grass fields of South Carolina, to bear witness to the Stonewall Rebellion. It does not mention Jemmy by name. Why are there so many monuments in America celebrating traitors like Jefferson Davis and so few celebrating heroes? See, this is where he got me. I said, I'm going to read his article. Because he said heroes like Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and Jemmy.
They threw Nat in there.
Nat was a hero. Yes, sir. All right? We were saying that from last year.
Yep.
But his brother might have seen something that we did. Because he threw Nat Turner in there and called him a hero. All right. Mm-hmm. Nat Turner was a hero to our people. All right. Even the U.S. Capitol has at least 3 times as many statues of Confederate figures as it does of black people. Because they're trying to say, oh, we got Martin Luther King up there. We got, you know, other stuff memorialized.
No, they got him as a bus inside just the head. He got the whole body.
So it says, even the Capitol has 3 times as many statues of Confederate figures. Confederate statues celebrate racism, but the ideology of white supremacy not only venerates oppressors, it also erases the stories and sacrifices of those who dared to resist. This is all that Psalms 2 and Psalms 83, all right? That's why it says they're Confederate against thee.
Right.
It erases the stories of enslaved black people who, despite the most oppressive circumstances, managed to lead as many as 313 rebellions. It tells us that Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, but not that 200,000 soldiers, many formerly enslaved, fought to make emancipation a reality. This 200,000. You tell me that if you reinforce yourself with 200,000 men, you're not going to overwhelm whatever you got there. And then we know that because the Bible says we're the superior race. All right. Those are some fit fighting men that they got there. Way more warrior like, because it's in our spirit, than what they had amongst their own. This erasure robs us of a rich legacy of resistance to draw upon when confronting the oppression of today. These statues must be taken down. It doesn't have to be this way. Following persistent pressure from local activists, that statue in Orlando was relocated and Robert E. Lee Middle School renamed. This week, officials in Charlottesville, Louisville, and Baltimore began to remove those cities' Confederate statues. In Durham, students tore down a Confederate statue whose odious presence in front of the courthouse could not be endured any longer. Progress is being made. And this way, he kind of falls off the bus. He sees that as progress. All right. Yeah, each Confederate statue should be removed. Confederate school and street renamed, but the fact that the national debate still centers on whether pro-slavery monuments should be taken down, not on how many anti-racist monuments should be built, speaks volumes.
Why isn't the idea of building statues like Busa's being considered prominently in this national conversation? Why does it seem so hard for this nation to imagine a world where black freedom fighters are celebrated instead of their oppressors? Well, we know why.
Right.
We brought that out last week. We know why. We know why, brother. Okay. At a time when white supremacists pose a growing threat, local leaders, artists, and activists should work together to build symbols that unequivocally reject this hateful ideology. Monuments that give voice to the truths unheard, celebrate the heroes untaught, and inspire the next generation to join the necessary work of perfecting our union. But that's not their agenda. That's not where they're going toward. They're looking to erase it, period. We deserve to look up to freedom fighters like Busa, not continue to be looked down upon by our history's coolest oppressors. We deserve more statues that depict our liberation. So this is Samuel Sinyawe. He's an activist and data scientist. He co-founded Campaign Zero, a policy platform focused on ending racism and police violence in America. So, you know, this brother's intentions seem good, but, you know, misguided because they're not guided by the scriptures, you know. Call-in number, 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. Did you want to go over the KKK guy and him calling that chick out?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So recently there was a so-called Hispanic journalist. I believe it was Univision, the channel Univision, or Telemundo, one or two. I forget off the bat of my head. Anyway, so she and it goes to show you the timing of this, you know, how the media, they're just putting everything all together. But it's all run by the Most High because he's really showing us, the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, signs and wonders, like I said, Deuteronomy 28, of who we are. And make a long story short, she was interviewing a KKK white supremacist member and his wife. And, you know, they agreed to the interview by the Spanish TV channel. Interestingly enough that they took that interview, but whatever. She rolls up, okay, and she's interviewing. First of all, when they show her rolling up, you could tell they're like, what the hell is this? You know, because she was so-called Hispanic. She was like, a little bit of caramel skin, not very dark.
They refer to her as like Afro-Colombian.
Yeah, right. But she wasn't really that dark, you know. But you know, you definitely could tell she wasn't Caucasian, right? I wouldn't have any doubt on that. Well, again, I've usually got it. Anyway, so she's interviewing this guy and his wife, and he just flat out tell her, wait, you're a nigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's significant about that, and obviously why they brought that out in the media, is because a lot of our so-called Hispanic brothers and sisters, we were on this trip that, you know, that we're accepted by the Caucasian man. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And this interview here proved that. Okay, because all we are is light skin for those that are light skin, or straight hair for those that has niggas.
Right.
Yeah. Let me read the article is not long, the one that I got. Okay. So I want to read it really quick because it validates what you're saying. So it says the interview between Ilia Calderon and a KKK member took a scary turn fast. Scary. Scary because you've never been called that before.
All right.
I was simply preparing myself mentally for what I had to do. This is a quote from her. Univision late night news anchor Ilia Calderon, an Afro-Colombian woman, went to Yanceyville, North Carolina to interview Chris Baker, a member of the Loyal White Knights, a chapter of the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. According to a preview video that has been released by Univision, Calderon had a face-to-face interview with Baker, and the two were discussing his views on segregation. During the interview, Baker tells Calderon flat out that, to me, you're a nigger. That's it.
That's it.
So just what you were saying about our people thinking not, he said, to me, you're a nigger. It don't matter that you don't. You might not have the woolly hair. You might not, you know, be as dark skin and have as wide a nose as, you know, all the features that they that
because
they,
the sister didn't have any of those features.
No. Right. He said, to me, you're a nigger. That's
right.
Just going to show you, we're seeing in the same boat. All right. She says, my whole team warned me that they would insult me, and I knew they would insult me.
Why did her team warn them about that? Because they knew, in their eyes, you're a nigger.
Yeah, it says, Calderon says in the video, I knew they would disrespect me, but I never imagined the level of disrespect.
The level. She's astonished.
Calderon admits that she was prepared to be insulted and treated badly by the people she was going to interview. When Baker used a racial slur to speak to her, Calderon says in the video that she felt scared and unsafe. Maria Martinez Guzman, the Univision vice president of news, warned Calderon to stay in the car as the crew went into the home to shoot footage for the interview earlier in the day. When the crew showed up at the property, Guzman says that she had never seen someone look at another person with such hate as those people were looking at Calderon. Calderon was also told that she is the first black person to ever set foot on Breaker's property. So, yes, Ilia Calderon and all you Hispanics out there, he sees you as black because he said you were the first black person to ever step on his property.
She got her nigga wake-up card.
Yeah, right. So you are straight Negro, okay, to them. Right. That's all it is.
Right. And just to show you how much she's up the Caucasian man's or the other nation's ass, okay, she's actually married to a Moabite.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So she's all into that one nation BS.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Well, she got her wake-up call. Okay? Mm-hmm. She got her wake-up call for us. Trust me. In China or Japan, she's a nigga.
You.
Right.
Okay? Right. That's it.
She's still nigga.
She's,
you black like this.
He said, you black like this. I was watching that yesterday. I was watching that clip yesterday from that comedian. You black like this. Hey, basically, what he was saying in that skit is like, yo, you get the full racism. I just get a little bit. Right, you know, right, you get right, the full on onslaught. Right. He was like, I got the bodega, so people give me some respect, you know? That's basically what he was trying to tell him, you know? Right. Yo, I'm telling you, man, that thing is that's hilarious. Like, I don't know what she was expecting by going in there, that it was going to be something different. Like,
no, but interestingly enough, her comment was she knew she was going to get treated bad, but she didn't know that they weren't going to accept her as whatever. Think about that. Because she says, I didn't think they would call me nigga. Right? She was think about what she said there, but you got to look at the psychology of this woman when she went out there. She actually went there thinking she was going to change their mind and she would be treated as one of them.
Again, bring it out.
So that's even when he was talking back before.
Yeah,
we got
to
bring out
that. You got to bring out heat.
We got to bring out this Romans 13:11. Yeah, that's what our people begging for. It said, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed."
Right. So seeing these things and it come into light again, because for so many years people were saying that racism is dead, it doesn't exist, that we're race baiting in our teachings and stuff like that.
Right.
Hey, that scripture's telling you now is the time that you come out of sleep. Wake up. I'm telling you, that was put in office. Even if he winds up getting impeached, he don't serve full term and all of that stuff like that. It was to show you the temperature for you sleepyheads, all right, you deep dummies, to wake up.
That goes back to what we read about when Christ said, when you see the abomination of desolation, then stand.
Right.
That the time is nigh.
Right. It's all the same thing, man.
Yeah,
it's,
man.
The son of perdition, the man of sin, has to be revealed. So don't be surprised when the devil tells you, hey, guess what? I'm the devil. Just that thing.
Right. Right. I'm telling you, man, it's like, here's the other hypocrisy with that interview. And in fairness to individual reporters who want to report stories, because we've had several that have reached out to us, they just oftentimes won't. They don't give it the light.
Right.
This guy, we did have somebody from Telemundo that did an interview on our organization,
right.
And she was here and she saw the value of a story in it.
She did,
and aired, but it didn't get the national attention that this lady did, right? Because it was too much of a positive light. All right. It was too much of a positive light. It's the movie that we got the documentary, The Day in the Light of an Israelite.
Right.
And, you know, the brother's put in a lot of work to get shown in different theaters. And if it be the Lord's will, it'll catch on and get a little more mainstream or at least viral.
Lord willing.
Right. Because they love when they see like these other camps that are out there, hateful, that are speaking garbage, that are really not edifying the people at all.
They're not coming from the bottom.
Right.
Or anything.
That's what they'll put to the forefront. They got no problem reporting on that and putting that to the forefront. All right. Even in this, they got no problem in putting out that white supremacist like that and putting him to the forefront in that interview. But there's almost like a media blackout on us and anything that we put out. Like I did that interview with on the SPLC. And you think that thing aired? And like that reporter was down to do it. She went to her editor and he saw that. He said, this isn't sensationalized. This isn't what I want.
They just put something up. I think it was on ABC News. I think it was in Denver on their local news. And it said black hate group in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
IUIC.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what they're putting on now. And that's the other thing, because it's the SPLC that's defining that. So I want to read that. I want to read that.
Well, you get that. It's funny you say that, because SPLC put out that article, right? Updated article on all the hate groups. And they got us in just about every state. They even got us in states that we don't have schools in.
Right.
They just said, just put them in there. Right here, I just put them in there. They're there too.
Right.
All right. Because at the end of the day, we're a threat. Why? Not physical. Of course not. Because we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay. According to the writings of Paul. Right. But because the power is in the words of the Most
High. Right. He said, through the foolishness of preaching, I'm going to save those that
believe.
Through
the foolishness of preaching. And when you preach, you don't fight. Okay. Although we will defend ourselves if it comes down to that out there. Trust me. Make no mistake about it. Okay. And we are very well trained. But that being said, it's preaching comes from what? The words of the Bible. That's why in Hebrews 4:12 it said, okay, the words like a double-edged sword.
Right.
Okay, cutting deep to the asunder. Double-edged sword, you get it from both ways. When you're using a double-edged sword, you're getting cut one way or the other. Okay, that's the analogy with that. So that's what we use. That's what we will continue to use. Again, like I said, let me stress, we will defend ourselves because it's our legal right to do so. But that being said, we are not going out there to protest or to go ahead and rally and march. No, our rallying and marching is in repenting, okay, and teaching our brothers and sisters, blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, that they're the Israelites and that they need to come back, because repentance, all it means is to come back to what? To your true culture, nationality. Not to be accepted by these other nations, all right? To come back as an Israelite man and woman and repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right. So they've been putting a lot, now that these white, what they're calling white nationalists or whatever, come out. And it's interesting because I'm going to show you the hypocrisy in this and what they're using as the authority on this. So this actually went on CNN, okay? It says the Southern Poverty Law Center's list of hate groups. So make no mistake about it. It's telling you the Southern Poverty. This is their list. That's like me putting down a list of the things that – this is Joshua's list of things he likes and doesn't like based on me. A list of movies that I enjoyed.
Yes,
that
yeah, exactly. Of. Like what's their criteria as far as –
Right. Oh, I'm going to tell you what their criteria is. Okay. It tells you what their criteria is. So it says dots represent the hate groups operating out of each state according to the SPLC. So they have like a little map there, right? And it says 917. That's the number of hate groups operating in the U.S. Now, of that 917, SPLC has 193 listed as black separatist groups, okay? So that means more than 80%, right, of the rest of those 78-80% of the rest of the groups are not black separatist groups.
Right.
So the other piece is when they show the infographic, they put black separatists, 193, and then they break out all the other, which is just white groups by general hate, KKK, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, and they put them separate so that it doesn't look like they have the largest number of hate groups. Right? It's crafty, bro. It's crafty. Mm-hmm. So it says that's the number of hate groups operating in the U.S. according to data from the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Alabama-based nonprofit activist group, so understand, they are a nonprofit activist group. They are no authority on anything. They are a nonprofit activist group. Understand that. Tracks civil rights and hate crimes and defines a hate group. So this is their definition.
Okay.
As an organization with beliefs or practices that attack or malign an entire class of people, typically for their immutable characteristics.
Just because you are who you are, we don't like you.
So even if you don't openly oppress, practice hate, go on video talking about, we're training in the gym and we have guns and we'll kill these people if we have to, because there was one, the one that's crying now, the neo-Nazi that's crying.
Oh, that was hysterical.
But when he was on Vice, he's walking, talking about, we'll kill these people if we have to. All right.
They're at my door and I don't know.
Yeah. You never see us doing anything like that. All right. If anything, according to, and I brought this out in my SPLC interview, in Romans, it says obey the powers that be.
That's right, and that's what we do.
It
we
says
obey
the powers that be. Because it also says, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men.
And that's what we do.
So we're not this right. But their thing is basically, if you have any belief. So what I don't understand is how come they don't put Catholics on here? Because Catholics believe that LGBT is not correct.
Or the Jewish people.
Hey.
Or the Jewish people. How about that? Who they call the rest of us Goyim. How come I don't see Amalek on here
as
a hate group?
Right. Or the Amish.
Or the Amish as a hate group.
Okay. And going back to the Catholics, they believe that their religion, Catholic means universal, that their religion is the only religion.
Yeah, but
so why aren't they there as a separatist?
But they're not on here. But they're not on here. And first of all, black separatism is a misnomer because my skin color is not black.
You know, nigga.
Your skin is not black. They all see us as niggas in black, but black separatist is not a correct
term. And if there's any nation that's not a separatist, it's us because we all love the other nations behind.
Right. So that's their belief. And it's slick because CNN kind of hedged themselves by publishing this way because they're saying, we're not saying this is what constitutes a hate group. We're saying this is what the SPLC is.
The mere fact that they're putting it out there is holds weight.
Right. I'm going to leave this right here.
Right. You decide.
Yeah. Okay, what are you going to say?
But read that last part of that sentence.
Typically for their immutable characteristics.
So what they're admitting right there is that they're saying that we hate them because they can't help but be the devil.
I don't know. I'll tell you another hypocrisy in that. That's a good point that you bring out. But we're wrong if we don't want to call a man a girl or a girl a man when you're dealing with transgenderism.
Right.
But we have no ground to stand on when we're telling you to call us Israelites because that's what we are. So you'll go and you'll call Bruce Caitlin.
Right.
But you can't call me as a Hispanic an
Israel. By our surname Israel.
By our surname Israel.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
So you hate us for our immutable characteristics. Bro, I'm telling you, man. See.
The hypocrisy is so deep.
So it says, over the course of a year, we have a team of investigators that scours the internet for racist publications and real-world activities to find out which groups exist, which groups are still active, and which groups come along, said Ryan Lenz, a senior investigative reporter for the SPLC's Hate Watch Project. So they scour the internet, he said. He said, over the course of a year, we have a team of investigators. So that
they do a diligent search.
When we say that they're watching us and they seek to infiltrate us and all that stuff, it is not paranoia. It is not conspiracies. Here is a so-called white man telling you, read it, bring it out.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 64, verse 5.
The characteristics of this man.
They encourage themselves in an evil matter.
They encourage themselves in an evil manner. So they're like, hey, we're going to put the group together and we're going to look at these sort of things. Go ahead.
They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search.
They accomplish a diligent search. So he says, go ahead, finish.
Both the inward thought of every one of them.
Everyone, all right? So you don't make the mistake because you have one or two nice white friends or Arab friends or Chinese friends that's indicative of all of them. The Bible says every one of them, their inward thought is what?
And the heart is deep.
And the heart is deep. So it's telling you that but they got things in place. That's why they trap you up in their BS, their semantics, their tongue-tying stuff, deflection to take you somewhere else.
Right.
That's why you have these groups calling us and say, oh, well, what about this part of Deuteronomy 28 or that part of Deuteronomy? Not understanding the full context of what it means. All right. So he says, over the course of a year, we have a team of investigators that scours the internet for racist publications and real-world activities to find out which groups exist, which groups are still active, and which groups come along. Some are classified as neo-Nazi, white nationalist, Ku Klux Klan, and others. The SPLC labels also include anti-LGBT groups, anti-Muslim groups, and so it includes anti-Muslim groups, but they have the Nation of Islam in there as a black separatist group.
Oh, my goodness.
To show you, man. I'm telling you, man. The hypocrisy.
Some are black separatists who don't believe in interracial marriage and want a nation only for black people.
Wait.
The group.
Wait, that's right. But why do they explain what black separatists means, but the other groups, they didn't break it down what they mean?
Right.
You see the hitty craftiness in that article? They throw the other ones in there. They'd be like, oh, well, they're including these Caucasians too. But they don't explain what their beliefs are. Why not? Why did it make the whole article is predominantly based on exposing the Israelites?
Mm-hmm. Bro, and then they show a chart here, right? So chart is mad big. This isn't even the graphic. This is the chart. This is black separatists, 193 groups. Mad red, mad dark red. Ku Klux Klan, 130. White nationalists, 100. That's the same. So that's 230.
Right.
Neo-Nazi, 99. Let's just say 100.
Right.
So that's 330.
Right.
Racist skinhead, 78. So that's 400 and change. All right. Neo-Confederate is 43. Bro.
It's all the same thing.
It's all the same thing. But they put us into black separatists and then Christian identity, 21 groups.
But hold on. Hold on one second. So we're separatists, right? Yeah, we're still in their school systems and everything, right? But how come going back to the fake Jews, Amalek, or by their biblical
name,
they're not separatists in their yeshivas? Let me go in there and say, I want to go ahead and be a student in yeshiva. You know, they'll come out very politically, kick me in the foot, literally.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. They'll come and they'll circle you and they'll start kicking you and pushing you and bumping you.
how come they have their own police force in Brooklyn, in New York, okay? But Detroit 300 try to police our people, they shut them down.
Hey, that's an active militia, and that's illegal in the United States.
Yes, and they beat you down because
and they have one, the Shimram or whatever they call it.
Right. How come? Hold on. How come we? Well, and I've experienced this firsthand. Okay, they cannot be. They don't allow any autopsies, right? And they have to be taken only by their ambulance, the hot soul.
Let us do some stuff like that.
Let me go say, let's just say that I really was Puerto Rican or something like that, right? Well, I say the Goya, right? The Goya ambulance or the Rice and Beans ambulance. You know what I'm saying, bro? God forbid. I want that one. How about this? I want my family member to be taken by a Hispanic ambulance, right?
That would never happen.
They will leave me there.
That thing is funny, man.
And rigor mortis will set in, and maggots will come out.
That thing is funny.
I will still be there.
Like the captain said, it said that how come he didn't explain what the other groups were about? But it said black separatists that don't believe in interracial marriage, that believe in the all black society, right?
But I know where you're going.
But it didn't go into that don't believe in defiling their bodies with drugs, that get jobs, take care of families, that uphold God's laws,
that uphold the laws of the land,
right? That. Romans 13 all day.
But wait a minute. But the other groups that they mentioned, neo-Nazis, et cetera, they don't believe in that either.
No, exactly.
So why aren't you putting that down?
They actually believe in overturning the government.
Exactly.
Yes, they do. Right.
They believe in overturning the government, all those other white nationalist groups.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right, so there's a couple of problems, too, that I noticed with that chart. So you know how the black separatists?
Uh-huh.
There's like a bunch of what they would classify as black separatist groups. So if you actually divided that chart, we'd be looking like the white side too.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So they put it all together. No, and then they put us like the darkest red, like danger. But the Christian identity is like a pale peach color.
But it's all subliminal by design, bro.
What's the difference between a white nationalist and a white supremacist?
Exactly.
There is the
same thing.
Right.
They want the same thing.
Wait a minute. White nationalist. Hold on a second. White nationalist means that you have pride in being white, right? Well, guess what? We have pride in being Israelites.
Hey, and they're so particular in breaking down these other groups, yet they have a category that's called general hate.
Yeah.
You telling me you couldn't get more specific than that? Put them in? Because you know why? They knew that they would fall under the hate group.
Those are people that hate peanut butter. People that hate shows.
General hate. So yeah, I hate a certain that come up.
Right.
Some critics of the SPLC say the group's activism biases how it categorizes certain groups. Yes, and that's what we're saying. We're one of those critics. For example, there are a number of Christian-based advocacy groups listed because the SPLC says the groups have hateful language and these regarding the LGBT community. I want to go on record and say we don't have any policies against the LGBT community except repent. You are more than welcome to come in here if you are the seed of Israel and you're willing to repent and put that away.
Right.
Right.
So what they mean by saying policies is that we won't let you be up in here pretending to be a man or a girl.
I'll get the policy.
Go ahead. Get the policy.
Get it.
I'm going to show you what the policy is.
Get it.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
That's homosexuals.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
That sounds like separatism.
So that's the policy. That sounds like hate speech. That's the policy. Right? Those groups are very critical of the list. They are includes them with neo-Nazi, white supremacy, and other groups. So they know about what we did.
Right.
They just won't mention us by name. They don't, because they look and see that it's BS.
Right, exactly.
So they marginalized us. And they say those groups are critical, arguing that we're faith-based and that we're mixed in the same with the rest of them. They also say the list compromises their safety, citing an attack by a gunman at the Family Research Council 5 years ago. The gunman had chosen the organization as its target, finding it listed as an anti-gay group on the website of the Southern Poverty Law Center, according to court documents. But since the FBI doesn't keep track of domestic hate groups, the SPLC's tally is the widely accepted one regarding groups such as neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and black nationalists. So this isn't no official list, all right? This is the SPLC, a civil rights nonprofit activist group, meaning a bunch of people that got together and they said, hey, we're about civil rights,
mm-hmm.
and that this is what they put down.
But in people's minds, because it's SPLC and CNN reported it, it is an accredited organization who they have no weight whatsoever in any of this. It's amazing. It's amazing. So what we have to realize is that the scripture says, matter of fact, get it for me. We know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All right. What's that? 10, right?
Second Corinthians 10.
Yeah. Get that for me. All right. This is what Paul said, what he said, because understand, son, there's nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes. Okay. We are telling, meaning blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, the Israelites, okay, for, you know, again, a lot of, most of it because of our, because of our iniquity,
right?
Because our failure to follow those statutes and commandments, okay. But it's been happening even in Paul's time when the Romans were ruling, who the Caucasians as well. Go ahead.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh,
we walk in the flesh, right? We walk as in us, you know, we walk as carnal people, right? Go ahead.
We do not war after the flesh.
We don't go ahead and fight like everybody else physically, all right? To get our point across.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
All right, the weapons that we use, they're not guns, they're not knives, they're not abusing anybody, they're not attacking anybody with our fists or kicks or anything like that.
But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Because all those weapons, they're not mighty. What's mighty to God is pulling down the strongholds. And this is why they continue to allow this evil rap music that's out nowadays. When I was growing up, okay, hip-hop, which is what I identify with, all right, was about empowering our people,
right?
All right, proving and showing us, hey, we're living in these conditions, you know, we gotta get out of it, all right? Hip-hop, that's what hip-hop was, all right, which started in the Bronx, New York, Boogie Down, okay? In addition to that, okay, they continue to have these evil shows, now teaching our kids in school, what, 3, 5, 6, whatever years old, about fellatio.
Right, fellatio.
Right, it's okay to, if you gay, feel like a man, if you're a girl, gay sex. Are you kidding me? That's all part of it, because that's whatever's, here's the bottom line. I'm going to sum it up like this. Whatever is contrary to the Bible, they will teach.
Mm-hmm.
They will teach because, give me Judith. Give me Judith real quick because we're running out of, yep, almost over here. Okay, here's why they continue to teach everything that I've been teaching, and they're okay with gangster rappers, falsely called, and all that nonsense. All right, just get to the point.
This is the book of Judah, chapter 5, and verse 20. Now, therefore, my Lord and governor, if there be any error in this people,
error meaning not following the Lord's commandments, you blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans,
and they sin against their God,
which is not following the commandments,
let's consider that this shall be their ruin.
Their what?
Their ruin.
Their ruin, their weakness. Go ahead.
And let us go up, and we shall overcome them.
So they know that their weapon is really not carnal either, if you think about it.
Right, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Their weapon, see, we're fighting a battle here, okay? But it's a spiritual battle. And they know, okay, there's only good and evil in the world. They know that the Bible's good, well, especially when you read Romans 7 and 12, the law, statutes, and commandments. So they had to do contrary. That's what Jacob and Esau is about. That's what the yin and the yang is about. That's why it's black and white, the yin and the yang.
Right.
Okay? It always has been and it always will be until the black Messiah returns and you blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans are put back in your rightful place of rulership, of ruling the earth was made for our sakes and the universe.
That's
all praise
right.
to the Most High.
Well, and going on that, I mean, all of this is actually to incite us to want to fight them carnally. Because they know that's the way that they can defeat us
if we try to go out there guns a-blazing, we're going to get laid out. We're going to die, and they'll be able to get rid of us. But we're agitating them because we're using our weapon that is greater than any weapon that they can come against us
right.
with.
While we're still keeping the laws
exactly.
of the land, as it says in Romans 13.
Exactly.
Okay, obey the bowels that be. You have anything, Cap?
We're coming up on 10 minutes left in the show. So I was all ahead on that. I don't know if you want to talk about anything else. I mean, we got other stuff.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some other things. So a lot of stuff did happen this week, all right? So we also had the terrorist act that took place in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And what's significant about that from a historical perspective with you blacks and Spanish Native Americans, most predominantly with the Hispanics, okay, is that scripture says that all the nations that had us in slavery and captivity are going to be judged.
Right.
Okay. And matter of fact, this is, I think, in the last 9 years, this is probably the third or fourth terrorist act. You had the train. You had quite a few of the bombings over there. Hispanics, falsely so-called brothers and sisters. Okay. I come with love when I say about this. Okay. You're not descendants of Spain. Okay, Spain is located in Europe, okay, which makes them Europeans. All right, we have Spanish last names because just like our so-called African American brothers and sisters and our Native Americans, okay, when we put into slavery, the slave owners gave their last names because we were their property. We're walking around calling ourselves Yo Soy de los Gonzales, or I'm Rodriguez, and all this. But guess what? You're walking around with your slave master's name, okay? Spain, and I thought that I was proud of that. I thought I was a descendant of Spain before I knew my true identity, because I was trying to find an identity, because I was like, where is our identity, Hispanics? Okay, I even was okay with that. Okay, I'm Hispanic. I'm a Latino. Okay, where is our identity? Well, our identity is in the Bible. That's our history. I just want to bring that up, that they just got jacked up, and they're going to continue to get jacked up. Spaniards are not our people. Now, are some of our people still there? Of course, because the scripture says that we scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. Right? Just like, an old slave. Remember, you read a book called Black Indians. It clearly says that Columbus took thousands of so-called Puerto Ricans back to Spain. Okay? Seville? Is that what it is? Sevilla or Seville? What's the name of the town over there?
In Italy?
No, in Spain. All right, Seville. That's one of the richest cities in Spain because of our slave trade. Okay, just like Mecca, because yes, the Arabs had a slavery too. Not all of us, okay, from the Northern Kingdom, who are the Hispanics and Native Americans, came to this part of the earth, of this hemisphere,
mm-hmm.
the Western Hemisphere. Okay, a remnant of us stayed behind. All right, but that's history that you're never going to know or hear about unless you join this show every week. Or you go ahead, listen to Israel United in Christ teaching our history from the Bible.
That's right.
Okay? So understand, make no mistake about it. You are not a Spaniard. And what happened this week, you know what? I got to be honest with you. Okay? All praises to the Most High, because that's prophecy. Okay? That just, okay, those are the signs that Christ said that we need to look for. Right? We should all be looking at the news, because everything that's been happening is prophecy in the Bible.
Right. Christ said watch it as well as see. And I'm going to go back to the scripture that we started with, 24:6. And when it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. So when you call Native Americans, Latins, and Blacks, see these things, don't be troubled. Understand that these things are for our salvation. It says, for all these things must come to pass. These things have happen in order for us to obtain that salvation, because there's no deliverance without the other nations suffering.
Give me Hosea, is it 4:15 I want? 4:16? Okay, because here's why the Most High, quite not only watch but see, right? But here's why all these things are happening. The Most High is putting it right in front of your face. Here's why see putting up those articles. The Most High is setting it up perfectly for you repentant blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans to repent back to reality. Okay, read that.
The book of Hosea 4:16. For Israel slideth back.
I think it's 15.
For affliction.
talking about 5:15?
5:15, I'm sorry. 5:15. Yes.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place. They acknowledge their place and their affliction. They will
see. Most I say that because he knows us. What are we all? Well, all of us, okay? Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, why am I going through this?
Right.
All right? A lot of y'all, like they say in the world, right, when things happen to you, okay? But you know good, you will go back into your sin and continue to have issues in your life if you don't repent as an Israelite man or woman and start repenting and follow the laws, statutes, and commandments. Stop doing this. The laws were not done away with. We've gone over that on the show, and we will continue to go over the scriptures that prove that. Christ, the New Testament wasn't written when Christ was walking the earth. So what was he teaching? The Testament. Wake up.
So you got to understand something. That's really the real reason. All right. These times we're supposed to be in affliction. But remember, there's a lot of our people here who don't think they think this is their rest. So the real reason that this news and stuff has to come out is because we have to be mindful of the times. Go ahead. Start at verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5:1.
This is the book of Thessalonians.
And read a little fast because we only got like 4 minutes.
1 Thessalonians 5:1. But of the times of the sea, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need for yourselves, knowing perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
So like the officer was bringing out, these things have to come out. You got to understand that all this stuff has to happen and that we need to be aware of it. This is why we discuss these things and bring this to your remembrance. Go ahead, read on.
For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction.
That's why we read in Matthew. He says, hey, what you're seeing now, this is just the beginning of sorrows. Right. All right, go ahead.
Cometh upon them as hell of a woman with child.
That's how it's going to be, like a woman giving labor. Go ahead.
And they shall not escape.
You're not going to escape unless you repent. All right. Like the Catholic was bringing out. You pray, return God's laws in the faith of Christ. Read.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake. That day should overtake you as a thief.
All right. We're not going to be in darkness. Why? Because we show you biblically why they're significant and important. Come on.
Ye are all the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night, nor of darkness.
Right, because you shouldn't be asleep. If you're repenting in this, you shouldn't be asleep. You shouldn't be deceived. Everybody's relishing it. Oh, they're pulling the statues down. Now, listen, none of that stuff should concern us, except what the scriptures say.
Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
No, so we are not sleep. You're supposed to watch and be sober. And when you read the rest of this chapter, for the interest of time, I go over it, it's telling you, once you see these things, these wars, this stuff going on, that should be a reminder to you. If you're really fearful, if you're really fearful of the Lord, and you read and you see things going on as a brother or sister coming new, or as an existing brother or sister that's repenting in this walk, it should inspire you to say, hey, I believe the end is coming. What do I need to do to continue to get right and make my calling and election sure? That's the mindset. Because a lot of people that they're all about, oh, the news, but don't realize that's the trigger to seek the Lord more.
Right.
All right. The scripture tells you, just such it was our way to go into sin, and seek Him more than that. So the way you used to gear up all that other stuff in repentance, seek Him 10 times more in that. That same zeal, seek Him 10 times more in that. So you, I'm sorry, some of us were what? Whoremongers, adulterers, all that stuff. The same way that was your goal, 10 times more. So, right? So, brothers who had that real lustful spirit,
right?
10 times more than that, but for the Lord. That's how it should be. That's it on that. We got 1 minute left. Any quick final thoughts as we sign off?
No, repent. Kingdom of heaven is at hand.
All right. All praises.
Pretty much it. You can tune in every single Saturday. Also, Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Arizona time. Right. You can tune in as well.
Yeah, that one you got to tune in live because there's no rebroadcast on that one. So you got to tune in live.
at least for now.
At least for now.
There will be.
Until they get it right. Supposedly.
It's on the way.
It's on the way.
Hey, if there's no record of it, it didn't happen, bro.
He was like,
it was flame.
Tune in this Wednesday at 8:30 for our first broadcast of the
Hey, be careful what you say. You better hold you to it now. Watch watch something terrible happen and be like, hey, I had to erase it.
Hey. No.
We had that one. Remember that. The Spanish one?
Yeah, that's supposed to start. Oh. I'm not going to say until they get it. Anyway, we got 10 seconds left. Thank you for joining in to the Native Latin Most History Show. Share the link. All right. Spread the word. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.